in the limelight. Senator Jeanine Añez is a strongly conservative politician who has described Bolivia's indigenous majority as satanic. She has also provided the military carte blanche to use unlimited force in suppressing all resistance to her rule, even creating a squad of masked, heavily armed death squads aimed at uprooting leftists and what she calls foreign terrorists. Despite all this, large areas of the country are in open rebellion and completely uncontrolled by the new government. Meanwhile, she has expelled large numbers of foreign nationals, including around 700 Cuban doctors that made up the backbone of Bolivia's new free healthcare system. The new Bolivian government has also recognized US-backed, so-called self-declared president Juan Guaido as the rightful ruler of Venezuela. Stay with us for an article concerning this issue written by Alan McLeod, an academic and writer for Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, under the heading, Bolivia's New US-backed Interim Government Wastes No Time Privatizing Economy. The article was taken from Mint Press News website. Stay with us for more of Alan McLeod's article. It has been barely 1 month since the administration of Jeanine Añez seized power in a military coup d'etat in Bolivia, but it has wasted no time in attempting to transform the economy and Bolivian society. Its latest move is aimed at privatizing the country's economy. A government spokesperson confirmed the fears of many, claiming that, "I believe the government should reduce its own size," and a protagonistic role should be given to private enterprises. In case that was not clear enough, he emphasized, "Yes, I am talking about privatization. Bolivia's economy is independent on its nationalized oil and gas industries." Wyatt Reed, a Virginia-based activist and journalist who covers climate and racial justice movements and foreign policy issues, said, "That was fast. Just 1 month after the coup d'etat in Bolivia, development minister for the unelected transitional government spells out their agenda. Yes, I'm talking about privatization. The government role should be seriously reduced and the leading role given to private enterprises." After military generals appeared on television demanding his resignation, longtime President Evo Morales stepped down, citing the growing targeted paramilitary violence against his MAS, or Movement Towards Socialism Party, colleagues. Evo Morales and his vice president, Alvaro Garcia Linera, fled to Mexico for safety. The military chose Senator Jeanine Añez as his successor. Jeanine Añez is a strongly conservative politician who has described Bolivia's indigenous majority as satanic. She has also provided the military carte blanche to use unlimited force in suppressing all resistance to her rule, even creating a squad of masked, heavily armed death squads aimed at uprooting leftists and what she calls foreign terrorists. Despite this, large areas of the country are in open rebellion and completely uncontrolled by the new government. Wyatt Reed added, "The unelected government in Bolivia is threatening to disenfranchise the entire region of El Chapare, the country's biggest MAS stronghold. Unless the overwhelmingly indigenous citizens allow the police who massacred them at Sacaba to take over, they won't be able to have elections." For a supposed transitional government, a caretaker regime holding the reins until imminent elections are organized, The Añez administration has certainly made some bold moves. It has already pulled Bolivia out of multiple international and intercontinental political and economic organizations such as ALBA, the Bolivarian Alternative for the Americas, and UNASUR, the Union of South American Nations, both of which had a more left-of-center outlook. Meanwhile, it has expelled large numbers of foreign nationals, including around 700 Cuban doctors that made up the backbone of Bolivia's new free healthcare system. It has also recognized US-backed, self-declared President Juan Guaido as the rightful ruler of Venezuela. With US support, Juan Guaido attempted another Bolivia-style coup d'etat recently. Interior Minister Arturo Murillo has accused the Venezuelan government of being at the head of a vast narcotics conspiracy, ignoring his own boss's ties to drug runners. Janine Añez's nephew was caught with more than half a ton of cocaine in Brazil. Murillo has formally requested the Israeli military come to train Bolivia's armed forces and has eliminated entry visas for Americans and Israelis. Considering the Israeli forces' expertise in suppressing an indigenous population, Murillo's intentions are worrying an increasing number of his countrymen. The government has also participated in a crackdown on dissenting journalism, closing down many television networks, including Bolivia TV, RT, and Telesur. Even foreign journalists have been assaulted, detained, and killed in Bolivia. The Minister of Communications, Roxana Lizarraga, claimed this latest move at privatizing the economy is part of an effort to dismantle the apparatus of the regime of Evo Morales. Under orders of the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, criticized by many as simply an extension of the US government, the country's oil and gas industries were privatized in 1996. International corporations like Enron, Shell, and Repsol, YPF, were not even required to pay for their shares, making the movement tantamount to the biggest giveaway in modern Bolivian history. Furthermore, royalties paid to the government were slashed to just 18%. Water was also privatized in Bolivia. Bechtel, an American corporation, increased the prices to level almost no Bolivian could afford, to the point where water and sewage costs over half of an average Bolivian's yearly wage. Bechtel also persuaded the Bolivian government to privatize the sky, making it illegal to gather rainwater. The result was mass thirst that led to nationwide protests that became known as the Water War. Within months of gaining office, Evo Morales made good on his promise to nationalize key sectors of the Bolivian economy. The move generated an extra $31.5 billion in government revenue over the next decade. Morales used the money to fund ambitious social programs. For example, over 11% of the revenues went to fund public universities, indigenous associations, and a basic income grant to all low-income Bolivians over the age of 60. Under Evo Morales' guidance, poverty halved and extreme poverty fell even further as citizens felt the benefit of the country's natural resources. The Center for Economic Policy Research stresses this could not have been possible without nationalizing the hydrocarbon industry. Perhaps more important than all of this, however, was the newfound dignity Bolivia's indigenous majority felt at seeing the first indigenous president in the country's history. The community is often treated with contempt, bordering on revulsion by the light-skinned elite. But Morales has been part of a movement that inspired them to organize and take a protagonistic role in their country's politics and society. With the United States and the local puppets back in charge of Bolivia and promising to reprivatize the economy, Both their newly won social status and their improved economic circumstances are at imminent risk. A reversal of this policy will take coordinated resistance on the scale of the 2000 Water Wars.